Several decades ago, I had the pleasure of meeting a retired American Baptist minister. We met through a summer job that I had during my college years, and he was one of a group of retired folks who worked in that job year-round, and I was part of a group of college students who were hired for the summer months. Working with him for several summers, I had the opportunity to talk with him and to get to know him. Our conversations I always found interesting, and I valued those moments, enjoying them whenever they happened. I discovered many things about him, including that he was a learned man. He wrote all his sermons in Greek and preached from the Greek manuscript, something I could not dream of doing. I well remember that particular day that he shared some sad news with me. He told me that he had been having health issues, and that after recent tests, he discovered that he had cancer. The illness was far advanced, and there was little to be done for him. This news was devastating to me. I was, of course, concerned for him, concerned for what he would experience as the illness progressed. But I was also sad that our time working together would come to an end. After he shared his news, he patiently listened to my halting words of condolence and sadness. And when I was finished, he patiently looked at me, and he said that he would be all right. He reminded me that God is faithful. He told me that God has such love and care for all creatures that the sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. After a pause, he added, "But the sparrow still falls." I marveled at his deep faith, at those words of comfort that he said to me, of the way that he seemed to be at peace with his approaching death. He reminded me of God's care and faithfulness, how God knows every creature, but also that every creature has an appointed time, a season to live, and a time to die. The words of this wise and faithful minister, that those words that he said to me, are from the gospel passage that we hear today. And every time I hear this passage, I can't help but think of him, of his deep statement of trust in God. Because of his witness in the face of terminal illness, I find hope in the words of Jesus that we hear today. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." Do not be afraid. The hairs of your head are all counted by God. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not fear those who kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. You are safe in God. Jesus tells us today that we have nothing to fear. And this is not an empty promise. It is not Jesus denying reality, but is instead a trustworthy and true promise. His words do not deny the reality that terrible things happen. His words certainly don't deny the terrible state, the difficult state of the world today. A world in which 121,000 people are known to have died from COVID-19 in this country. How 30 million people in this country have sought unemployment benefits because of the pandemic. How countless unarmed people of color face violence at the hands of police. how access to education, employment, and financial security in this nation are largely denied people of color. These terrible facts are true. They describe the harsh reality of our world. But they do not reflect God's desire for humanity. They certainly are not God's will for us. Though many are abandoned by our society, no one is ever forgotten by God. No one falls without God knowing. And God makes no peace with oppression and injustice, and neither should we. All who follow Jesus as disciples are called to reject the unjust ways of this world and are called to make real the heavenly city of God even now here on earth. Our gospel today is a continuation of what we heard last week, last Sunday. And in that passage we heard last week, Jesus had gathered his 12 apostles, gave them authority to heal and preach, and was sending them out to all the lost sheep, to those that Jesus said were alone, were helpless, were harassed, were without someone to lead them. Jesus commissioned the disciples to share in his work, to be his healing and compassionate presence in the world, and sends them out to the lost and the forgotten. The passage we hear today continues this sending out. Jesus is teaching his disciples before they actually go. And it's actually a collection of sayings found in Matthew's gospel. And these sayings include some familiar words, and they also include some very challenging words. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what they will face in the world. They will find some people who will be glad to hear their preaching and be receptive. These people will welcome the apostles and invite them into their homes, will listen to their teaching, will be open to receiving healing. But there are others who will be hostile, who will reject their preaching, their healing. Some may be violent and even persecute them. And even the disciples' own families may reject them, hating what they are doing by following Jesus. Now, often in a gospel passage like this one, there are layers of meaning to be found. There's that most obvious level, that of Jesus teaching those with him in the first century, sayings of his recorded and passed on through the ages. It may be what we might think of as a newspaper account, a literal record of what happened. But Scripture is more complicated than that. This is not simply a report of what happened. For often in these gospel stories, there is more than one level. There's a more hidden level, a level that reflects the time the gospel came into being. That more hidden level, that level from the time the gospel came into being, shows the concerns, the realities facing the community in which the gospel is composed. And it dwells alongside the story of Jesus and his words. This deeper level is a kind of veiled window into the time after the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, a window into the early decades of the Christian church. In this deeper layer, Matthew is offering a glimpse of the early Christian community struggles. They were a group who faced persecution by the religious authorities, and even sometimes from their own families, because they left the synagogue to follow Jesus. They were being persecuted for their discipleship. Because they followed Jesus, they knew hostility and even violence. The words that we find in our gospel today reflect both the reality for those 12 apostles as well as for that later community with Matthew. Jesus offers words of hope and strength to all. His teaching in no way denies or diminishes the challenges his followers face. Jesus does not pretend that being his disciple is easy or without a cost. To follow Jesus is, in fact, to walk the way of the cross. And that way, that road is difficult, and the cost is great. It requires giving up self-will and living by loving service to others. It challenges the assumptions and practices of our world, of our families, of our own lives. The gospel rejects the values and practices of this world, and because it challenges commonly held assumptions and values, taking up one's cross inevitably leads to tension with others. It may even result in outright persecution, as has happened throughout history and as happens in parts of the world today. The cross is a threat to the ways of the world because it challenges evil power structures. It rejects hatred and violence. It condemns the inequities and injustices of our world. The cross asserts that all people have value, that all people are beloved of God. To follow in the way of the cross is to find meaning and purpose not in money or possessions or power exercised over others, but in humble, loving service. The promise of the cross is that no matter what the followers of Jesus face, no matter the pains and difficulties endured, God is always present. The power of God's love will defeat the evil powers of this world. God conquers sin and death. Jesus promises that God will deliver us and bring us to resurrection life, following him in the way that he has gone before us. Our epistle today from Paul's letter to the Romans, I have to confess, is among one of my most favorite. And this might be because we read it at the great vigil of Easter, just after we've gathered at the font for the renewal of baptismal vows by candlelight. This reading comes in the vigil just after we proclaim the resurrection with the words, "Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia." This reading is so important in that moment, for it reminds us how baptism into Jesus is a share in his death and in his resurrection. Through baptism, we are transformed for eternity. Through the waters of baptism, we die to the old life. We die to the way of sin. And we rise to resurrection life, given a share in Christ's resurrection. Paul writes, saying, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Through baptism, we are incorporated into Jesus. We put on his identity. We become his body in the world. In the waters of baptism, we die. We drown to the ways of this world in those life-renewing waters. We leave behind the life of self-will, of alienation, and of fear. In the font, we rise to the divine life of God, to life as beloved children of God, as heirs of eternal life. Whatever pains and sorrows befall us in this world, whatever trials and sufferings we experience, baptism assures us that we will be delivered, that we are safe in God forever. God's promise endures. We will be delivered into eternal life with God. And so, because of this promise, we can let go of fear. We are able to embrace the present reality. We are able to endure and persevere in the call given us, in the power of the cross, resting in the promise that we share in Christ's resurrection life. We can faithfully follow where Jesus leads the way, embracing with all our heart, with all our will, that paradox that in losing our life we find it, and we find true life. We find life abundant, life eternal with God. To be a disciple is not easy. There is great cost. It requires obedience to Jesus, and it asks that we be transformed. It is a journey into greater faithfulness. It's listening closely to the teachings of Jesus, learning from him, being formed by him, changed by him, and then going forth in his name, responding to the needs of the world. May we rest secure in the knowledge that we are known by God, that we are safe in God forever. Though we live in challenging and disorienting times, we will not be abandoned by God. We find our meaning and our purpose, our very vocation in Christ, for we are claimed as Christ's own forever. Resting in the power of the cross, sharing in the death and resurrection of Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, may we discern our call in this time and this place. May we say yes to Jesus, to being sent out by him in compassion and love, claiming the authority he has given us to be agents of healing and reconciliation. Let us in everything we do live and proclaim to all people the good news that he has entrusted to us. Amen.